This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
This beautiful March morning, I can certainly tell by looking out in my yard, the trees are already starting to bloom, believe it or not. And my eyes, I hope my eyes are not too terribly bloodshot, but this time of the year, the pollen gets in my eyes, probably gets in your sinuses like all of us. And so if I start tearing up today, it may not be because I'm spiritual. Maybe because I got a lot of pollen. But it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 10 and get started in our lesson today. So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 22, and it says, "And ye," this is Jesus speaking here, "and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Going back to the beginning, and he says these words, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." God bless you. Can be seated this morning. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I was having a conversation on the phone with a dear friend, and we were just talking about some things, and thank you, Brother Leo. And I remember the conversation about, we was talking about some things. I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but I remember at the closing of our conversation, I remember these words were spoken. He said on the other end of the line, "I'm just trying to make everyone happy." And I don't really remember anything else of that conversation. I know it ended shortly after that, but I began to think as I hung up the phone about those words that he said, "I'm trying to make everybody happy." And I believe the Lord began to talk to me about the subject of why do we try to make everybody happy? Why do we try? This is a very impossible feat to reach because, you know, many try their best to accomplish this, but it's really an impossible job to do. But why do we try so hard to please everyone? Think about that for a few moments this day. You see, one reason that we try to make everybody happy is because God created us and wired us for relationships. And so it comes natural to us. Everyone, we carry a desire to be loved, don't we? We want to be liked, don't we? We want to be accepted. We want to be approved. And we want to be valued and appreciated. And I've heard it called this, we have something within us that's called a longing for belonging. We want to find our place in the world. We want to find our place certainly in God, don't we? So there's a longing within us to belong. And it's the driving force that propels us on many of the choices that we make. For instance, we choose sometimes what clothes we're going to wear because we want to know what everybody else, we want to wear something everybody else likes, right? We want to please our spouse. We want to please those around us. So it affects our choices that we make, trying to please everybody. It affects how we fix our hair. I know there's a lot of times I'll get in the mirror and I'll fix my hair and I'll ask my wife, "Does this look nice?" Because I want to be pleasing unto her. Do you ever do that, men? So it's the driving force for a lot of decisions that we make. It sometimes, even where we live and where we choose to work, this longing for belonging. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to be accepted. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to be appreciated, approved by other people. In fact, it's our relationships that usually get us to the pinnacle of our lives. We all need somebody to encourage us along our journey, don't we? It's always good to have somebody to inspire us. It's always good to have a friend that we can call on and ask maybe perhaps their opinion on a certain matter. It helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. It helps us accomplish the things that by ourselves we would not be able to do had it not been for that person that we talk to often. We need a friend to cheer us on, don't we? We need a parent to affirm our value. We need a teacher to instruct us. We need a preacher to inspire us. And many people come into our lives to help us obtain our goals and dreams. Aren't you thankful for friends this morning? But today, as I try to help us in this lesson, I must also inform us that there there's a desire, that desire of approval. It can be misused, it can be abused, it can even lead to confusion. I'm going to call this lesson today, the disease to please. The disease to please. You see, this disease to try and please man and try to please everybody, if we abuse it, it can consume all of our time. It can consume all of our energy. It can literally zap the joy out of your life if you're always trying to please everybody. Bill Cosby said these words, and I quote, he said, "I do not know the key to success," but he said, "but I do know that the way to fail is to try to please everybody." Let me quote somebody else that we are very familiar with this morning. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "For do I now," and he's asking a question here now. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" Then he asks another question. He says, "Do I seek to please men?" And then he answers these questions in the next phrase. He says, "For if I yet please men, I should not be," what? "The servant of Christ." So I've got some questions for us in this lesson today. Whose approval are we living for? Whose approval are you living for? You see, this disease of trying to please everybody, this is what it tries to tell us and teach us. It says these words, "I must be liked by everyone for my life to be happy." Huh? There's people that go around that think that way, think that for if the only way their life is going to be happy and fulfilling is they got to have everybody like them. Or if that were true, then you and I, we're going to live a very unhappy life. Because guess what, folks? We're not going to make everybody happy. Amen? You simply cannot please everybody. You're not going to be able to do it. You see, we are, now this is very hard for us as a church, as a Christian, as being Christ-like, because we are in the people business, right? Notice I didn't say we are in people's business. See, some people get that confused. They're in people's business, but we are in the people's business, trying to reach the lost, right? And so we want everybody to like us, don't we? We feel like if we get everybody on our side, we'll be more influential. We'll be more apt to be able to reach them, don't we? So we want everybody to like us. And I'm not teaching against those things because I want to be loved. Amen? I want to be liked. We all want to be accepted, don't we? Every one of us this morning are trying daily to reach those that we are around. But we've got to be careful not to let our efforts in trying to reach the lost become a lifestyle, listen to me now, a lifestyle that is always trying to please men. You see, this is apostolic teaching this morning, because we live in a society now, in the religious world, that they're scared to preach things in the pulpit because why? They're scared to offend somebody. They're scared. They want to be liked. And so they watch. They carefully pick their subjects. And they carefully plan out what they're going to talk about in the pulpit where they can be politically correct. Because they don't want to offend a certain race or they don't want to offend a certain people. And I'm not here to say that we get up in the pulpit and be offensive every time we get in the pulpit. That's not what I'm saying. We got to be careful that we preach the truth no matter who it offends. So we've read this morning, Paul said, if I seek only to please men, then I will not be the servant of Christ. Isn't that not what we read? Galatians 1 and 10, he says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we have to avoid this disease to always please. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Listen to these words. Now he's talking about us. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, he gave us this gospel, he put it in our trust. Even so we speak, but he says, listen to this. He says, even though we've been entrusted with the gospel, we got to make sure we're not preaching it just to please men. He says, not as pleasing men, but God. Now notice here, which trieth whose hearts? Our hearts. The ones that have been bought with a great price, the ones that have been baptized in his name, the ones that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is he really saying here, Paul? Paul is trying, and what he's trying to attempt here and say to us is our purpose is to please God and not men. You and I's purpose is to please God and not people. See, for it is God who examines the motives of our hearts. It is God that looks inwardly, not man. So if we give into the disease to please, then we will certainly miss God's will for our life. Am I making sense this morning? All right. You see, if you're always trying to please everybody around, you're going to be boxed in. You're going to be limited if you're always trying to please anybody. If Sister Anna was here, I would say this, or I would just say it anyway. You're going to paint yourself into a corner if you're always trying to please everybody. You see, this disease that I'm talking about, it attacks many areas of our life, the disease to please. First of all, it attacks our faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that tells us that it's not tangible. We can't grab a hold of it sometimes. We don't even see it with our natural eyesight. But the people that we live around that don't have faith, they want to see it to believe it, right? They want to grab a hold of it. They want to know why you're doing certain things, why you're acting a certain way, why you're holding on to something that you haven't yet obtained. They don't understand faith because it's a substance that they can't hold on to. And so if you're trying to please everybody, guess what? And you're trying to live by faith, guess what? There's going to be a conflict there because those people that maybe you work with and maybe your friends that are around you, they're not in this faith. They're going to say, why are you doing this? Why? I don't see why you're going to church. I don't see why you're going to a prayer meet. I don't see why you're believing in a God whenever this cancer's eating away at your body. They're going to say those things. They're going to be offended at you when you say, you know what? I'm going to trust in God. Because this disease to please will attack our faith. Everybody say these words. Faith is risky. Faith has risk. And for our faith to be stretched, our faith to be developed, it will usually go against, guess what? Popular belief and opinion. Guess what? To trust in God sometimes, it's going to offend people. Sometimes people are not going to understand why you're doing certain things. But let me just tell you, put your trust in God and not in man. Can I get an amen to that? Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5, verse 44. He says these words, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Why are you seeking the approval of others and not God? That's what he's saying here. Why try to get the approval from each other but never the approval of God? Because many people live that way. They say, well, if my best friend likes it, then I guess it's okay. I've heard young people say, and I've tried to teach them as a youth pastor, to be leery of going with the crowd all the time because sometimes the crowd is wrong. But young people tend to look at it and say, well, my best friend's doing it. And if it's all right with her, well, it's got to be all right. You see, that's the danger of trying to please everybody. No wonder many do not believe. The fear of human opinion will always disable your faith. It will always disable your faith. So we ask these questions. What are we doing? Whose approval are we living for? What are we trying to accomplish in life? Let me ask you this question. Whose opinion matters to you the most? Now I want you to think about that question for a few moments. I want you to answer it inside your head. Whose opinion matters to you the most? The reason I'm asking you to answer that question is because whoever came up, popped into your head the first time, that's your God. That's your God. Whoever that person is your God, because when you value anyone's opinion more than God's, guess what? You have given that person power and authority over your life. You know, God's a jealous God. See, this is why I'm saying this is apostolic teaching. Because God is a jealous God. What did he tell Israel when he began to write out the Ten Commandments? Don't put any gods before me. What is he saying? Don't seek the approval of somebody else. Don't worry about the opinions of those heathens that you're living among. Don't worry about what they're saying. Just worry about my opinion, what I think about you. Because he said, I don't want any gods before you. I want to be your God. But if you seek God's approval and his approval matters the most, guess what it does to you? It will set you free. It will liberate you. Because, you know, today when I got in this pulpit, I do my best to try and preach a good message to you guys, and you respond so good. But you know what? When I get in the pulpit, I have to make up my mind. What I'm preaching this morning, it doesn't matter if the crowd loves it or not. I have to preach what God gives to me. I have to preach what He lays upon my heart. I know there are times I've stood as a pastor and preached some things to a congregation that I knew was going to be offensive, that I knew it was going to hurt somebody's feelings, and I wasn't trying to hurt their feelings. And you can ask my wife, I tried to preach it in a loving and kind way, but I knew as I preached that message, Brother Greg, they were going to be offended. And as soon as I finished that sermon, here they come, they want to have a meeting with me. And I try as kind as I possibly could to say, you know, ma'am, sir, I'm not trying to offend you, but I've got to preach the Word of God. Amen? So it's tough. But whenever you are not afraid of man, whenever you can get to a place and you lose this disease of always trying to please men, there will be a boldness that will come upon you like never before. Because you won't be afraid of man anymore. You won't be afraid of opinions as long as you are in the center of God's will and you have God's stamp of approval. That's all that matters. Amen? See, this is why many cannot worship God. Now listen to this. Many cannot worship God in spirit and in truth because they worry about what other people is going to say, don't they? This morning when we go into our second part of worship, I hope that you'll get this part of this lesson. Because you know what? You need to not worry about what people think. When it comes to worshiping God, you see, some people are afraid of what their spouse may say. They're afraid of what their friends may think of them if they get out in the aisles. They're afraid of what their coworkers may talk about if they see them openly displaying their worship and their adoration for their God. There's many people that will not lift up their hands because they're worried about, well, am I out of order? There are many people that won't run the aisles, or they won't jump and down, up and down, or they won't raise their voice because they're worried about what everybody else thinks. You know what? I don't want to get to the place in my life where I worry about what other people think all the time. But when I come into the house of God, or I kneel at my bedside, or if I get into the back corner of a prayer room, I'm not concerned about anybody in that prayer room. I'm not concerned about anybody that's around me. That's why I like sitting up on the front, because it gives me, I don't have to worry about what's going on behind me. I can lift up my hands. I can throw my hands in the air and throw my voice up unto Him. And it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what it sounds like to you. It matters to God, and that's all that matters to me. Amen. I'm not worried about who's around me. I want to worship my God. It sets you free. Let me ask you some questions. Are you going to stay bound up forever by giving in to what everybody else thinks? Boy, these are some tough questions this morning, right? Are you going to always please men? Are you willing to forget who's beside you and worship God like He deserves to be praised? You see, the side effects of this disease I'm talking about, this ailment, I notice that people that have this disease to please, they have an imaginary measuring tape. Because they take it out every day and they measure themselves by themselves, by other people. We call it keeping up with the Joneses. Let's see how the Scripture says it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let's get back in Scripture. Paul says, For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if you have the disease to please and it's running inside of you, you're going to always take out a measuring tape and you're going to say, well, you're going to measure your life by others. Well, this person's doing it and he seems to be blessed. I think I can do it. Or this lady here is wearing this, so I guess it's okay for me to wear it. And the list goes on and on. You got to quit comparing yourselves with others. I can't get up in this pulpit and start comparing myself with Brother Tim Mahoney. I can't get up this pulpit and start comparing myself to other preachers that I listen to and I like and admire. I cannot do that. I'm Robbie Stevens. It's a full-time job being Robbie Stevens. And I know that my preaching and my teaching and everything I do is not everybody's going to like. I understand that. I'm okay with that. But you know what? I'm not going to change because somebody doesn't like what I say. I've got to be Robbie Stevens. God created me to be Robbie Stevens. You know what? And God created you to be you. We're all unique. We're all different. And that's what makes a church so great. That's what makes the world so great. So why am I trying to be like somebody else when God wants me to just be me? You know what? He's going to help each one of us to see that we have got to make sure that we try to just be ourselves, because that's what we are. We are truly going to reach our world when we just learn to just be open and talk about the things of God in our own way. Amen? Not to be like somebody else. I want to talk about something else this disease does. It does not handle pressure well. You see, the Bible is full of people just like you and me that were persuaded by trying to please somebody else. Pressure from others. Let's look at some in the Bible. You can see Reuben. Whenever his brothers, they bound Joseph up and they threw him into a pit. Now, Reuben knew this was wrong. He began to tried to talk some sense in those guys. He said, you know what? This is our brother. We shouldn't kill him. He's our own flesh and blood. And so they got together, and Reuben was wanting to really set Joseph free, if you really read the scripture. But because of the pressure of his brothers, he agreed to sell his own brother into slavery. See how the disease to please, kind of when the pressure is really on, whenever you really get in a tight situation, you see, if you're trying to please everybody around you, sometimes it's not God's will, because men will deceive you. You've got to make sure that you're in the will of God and doing the right things. Aaron, a prime example, built a golden calf because of the people putting pressure on him while Moses was up upon the mountain receiving the tablets of God. And so the people came to Aaron and said, you know, Moses has been gone long enough. You know, people put pressure on the preacher. They'll do it. There's a lot of churches all throughout America that there's congregation that put pressure on the preacher and say, you know what? I think we need to do things this way. You know, big tithe payers. Boy, I better watch what I'm saying now. Huh? Boy, I'm preaching now. Big tithe payers come on and they'll lay their tithes. I'm not saying it happens. It's not happening in this church, but I've heard of men, pastors, saying how these big tithe payers will come in and they have in their envelope. They have that big check and they'll come up to their pastor and as they lay that tithing in his hand, he'll say, you know what, I think this ought to be done. And so there's pressure put upon the man of God. And pressure was put upon Aaron to make a golden calf. And what did he do? He gave in to pressure. And we know the results. Samson gave in to pressure of his girlfriend, wanting to please his girlfriend, so he broke his vow with God. I'm telling you, the scripture's full of people that were plagued by the disease to please. Peter denied Jesus because he was sitting around a campfire. He was afraid of what others might do to him if he admitted knowing the Lord. So guess what? He denied the Lord three times because of pressure. Pilate even admitted he couldn't find no fault with Jesus, but you know what? He still allowed him to be crucified because he feared the crowd. I wonder how many, think about this, how many times have we missed the will of God because we had the disease to please? That we felt pressured because the crowd was doing everything. Am I preaching good this morning? Amen. I wonder how many times, we shouldn't be like King Saul. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, King Saul, the Bible says he was head and shoulders above all of his brethren. He looked the part. He was God's anointed. God had anointed him to be the first king of Israel. Man, when he walked down and he came into the host of Israel, everybody was excited about, because he looked like he had the potential to be a great leader. And he did have great potential. But he was plagued by this disease we're talking about. Because one of the first tasks that God asked him to do, he said, I want you to go destroy, I believe this, if I get my story right, he said, I want you to go destroy the Amalekites, and I want you to destroy everything. I want you to kill the cattle, kill the sheep, kill the wives, kill the children. I want you totally to annihilate that. Well, that sounds cruel, God. Why you want all that done? Well, you need to go back and read your Bible a few centuries or a few years before that, and you'll see why God wanted all that destroyed. But Saul said, you know what? After the battle, he said, you know, I think those sheep, man, this flock over here looks pretty good. I think we need to keep that. And so he started putting back some sheep and putting back some cattle and started sparing some of the good things. And so Samuel, by the instruction of God, began to scold Saul. And this was Saul's prayer whenever he heard Samuel getting on to him about this disobedience to God. And Saul, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. And this is why, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This disease to please does not handle pressure well. And let me tell you, as a Christian, as a child of God, there's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be points in your life where the enemy's going to come in and try and put pressure on you. He's going to try and see what you're made of. You know what pressure really does? You ever take an orange? And the orange looks so good, especially those big satsumas we like, you know, or the big navel oranges. They look so pretty on the tree or at the grocery store. And so we get that orange and we bring it home and we want to eat that orange so badly. But it's not how it looks. What we want is what's really on the inside. So what does it take to get to the inside of that fruit? It takes pressure, doesn't it? It takes a tearing away. It takes a peeling away to get to the inside of that fruit where the nutrients in the fruit. And I probably used this example before, but let me just say it again. That's what we are to this world. You see, we have something on the inside of us that is nutrients to this world that we live in. This world is searching for answers. They're searching for joy. They're searching for peace and happiness. And all the while, we have it on the inside of us, but God wants it to come on the outside as well, right? So that's what pressure does. That's why God allows pressure, because when we're put in a tight situation, when God begins to allow things to come in our life, when the enemy comes in and tries to tempt us, guess what? It's going to bring out some things inside of us that the world needs to see. So that's why we have trials, and that's why we have temptations. That's why James said, I count it all joy when I fall into many temptations. He says it when I fall into divers temptations. Why could he say that? Why can you say, I count it all joy? Because James understood that pressure brings out some things in your life that this world needs to see. Amen. Let me move on. This disease will make you become a word that we don't like to say. If you have the disease to please, you're going to become a hypocrite. Do you know the word hypocrite is a Greek word that was derived from actors many centuries ago, that whenever they played their part in whatever scene, they put on different masks to play a certain scene. Like they had scene one, they would put on a certain mask and they would act out their part. And then as the music or the minstrel will come out and play in these amphitheaters, they would hurry up and sometimes change their costume, but certainly change their mask and would take on another character. And so this is where this word hypocrite, if you go back and study it, it's a Greek word that was derived from people and actors that put on different masks in different scenes. So it's a very good word. So don't you think it's time for us to take off our mask? See, if you are depending upon the audience, you're always going to be changing every scene of your life. It depends what audience you have, right? You're at work today, it's a different audience. You know, I've got to put on a different mask. Today, I'm not the preacher in the pulpit. Today, I'm just a pipe fitter for Turner Industries, and I have a different audience. So I've got to put on a different mask, don't I? No. Not if I don't want to be a hypocrite. Huh? Boy, this is good preaching. Amen. Clap your hands, all right? Amen. See, there's people that have a mask for work, they have a mask for church, a mask at home, and it's going to go on and on and on. Don't you just get tired of just putting on different masks? Why don't you just, if you just learn to please God, you won't have to worry about all those things. I know there's times at work, and there's times in the classroom, there's times in our home, that my word, when God just moves upon you to say something, and you know it's going to offend somebody, but you know what, it's just, you got to let it just come out and say, you know, you've just got to take a stand sometimes. They're going to be... We all work in a secular job, most of us. Some of you are retired, but most of us, we've been there before if you've been retired. And you know what it's like when you go into a secular environment. Everybody's talking about this, and, well, I think this is the way it ought to be. And you know what? It's hard just to be quiet, you know, and just get over in the corner. But you know what? God's put you in that situation for you to be a light and be a voice. So there's times I have to do it, and you have to do it. You have to stand up and say, you know what? That's not what the Bible says. Well, you know. That's what God has placed us in this world to do, not to please men, but to be a voice for Him. Amen? So why not rid ourselves of this plague that this plague will never allow your true self to come out if you're always trying to please somebody else. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he called them this word. He said, "You're hypocrites." He said, "You're hypocrites because you wear the mask. You put on the long robes. You got your sleeves just right. You got your robe." Don't misunderstand me. I'm not preaching against holiness right now. Don't misunderstand me when I make this statement. But Jesus looked at those Pharisees and said, you got the mask on. You got the part played out. You do everything just line upon line. But you know what? Your heart is so far from me right now. I'm standing before you. Don't even know who I am because they learned how to wear the mask well. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to please our God. Amen? I don't want to just dress the part. But inwardly, I want to say, you know what, Lord? It's all about pleasing you. That's why holiness is so important. Amen? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I'm not preaching against holiness. I'm talking about all these things, inward holiness, outward holiness, all these things. I'm not trying to please men. I'm trying to please God. Amen? You see, the disease that I'm talking about will make you become a hypocrite. It also, this problem will generate fear. Fear of the people. You see, another reason we must be cured is that we need to share this powerful message of Christ with others. And we're not going to do that if we're always fearful and afraid. If we're always worried about what other people are going to think. Jesus said that we would be hated. What did we read? We read at the very beginning of this lesson. We would be hated of all men. Not just a certain group. There's going to come a day when everybody's going to hate us, folks. So just get ready for it. There's already people right now that hate us. Even our own government is targeting Christian groups right now, calling them all kinds of bad names, okay? It's already happening in the world that we live in. They're going to hate us not because of who we are. It's what we stand for. It's the name that we've taken on in baptism. He said, "You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake." Jesus said to expect it. Boy, this is all gloom and despair, isn't it, this morning? No, I'm just telling you the truth. God has some great things in store for us. So not everybody's going to like us, though. Not all men will like the gospel we preach. So if we have this disease to please, we're going to be afraid that what we say and what we preach about may make somebody hate us. But Paul said in Romans, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation." I have got to get to a place in my life, and we have got to get to a place in our life that we are not ashamed to speak up and talk about the goodness of the Lord, His truths, holiness, prayer, everything in His Word. We've got to get to the place where we say, okay, I know this may offend. I know this may hurt feelings, but you know what? I've got to tell the truth. Don't you like it when a friend comes to you, a true friend, and just tells you the truth? Don't you like it, Brother Doug, when I know Sister Glenda's done this to you because my wife does it to me. She comes up to you and you're putting on that nice favorite shirt that you like. She said, "Baby, why don't you try another shirt today? That shirt's dated. Why don't you put on that other shirt? It looks nice." No, I'm not saying the shirt you got on, Brother Doug. My wife does it to me, Brother Tim. Don't you think you wore that tie? And it's kind of hurtful at first, but you know what? She's telling me some good advice. Why are we so afraid to speak our minds sometimes? Now, I'm not saying go off and just, you can't speak everything on your mind. But to be honest with somebody and do it in a, I'm talking about being kind and compassionate. Tell somebody, "I want to be a preacher that I can walk up to my kids." And I do this. You can ask my kids. I have a son right now that's not doing well. We had about a 3-hour conversation about 3 months ago. And this conversation, he was saying, "Well, this guy says doing this is okay, and this church over here says it's all right." And I looked at him, and I said, "Son, I want to tell you, as your father, not my opinion, not some opinion of somebody else, but tonight, I'm going to show you in the Word of God what's wrong and what's right and why we can't do certain things." And for 3 hours, we went through the Word of God. And I knew it was going to offend him. I knew it was going to make him mad. But you know what? I'm not trying to please man. I'm not going to let my son go to hell because of me. I'm going to tell him what's right. I want a preacher to get in the pulpit. I want a pastor that's not afraid to get in the pulpit. And we have a pastor that'll do that. That'll stand up and declare the word of God and not be afraid of opinions of men. Amen. Not be fearful and afraid. Because if we have the disease to please, man, we're going to be fearful and afraid. You see, I've had a conversation with somebody in the recent weeks that said these exact words. And I've heard it, and you probably are hearing this too. They said these words: we need to take Pentecostal off our church signs. There's a group of people that are wanting to remove Pentecostal out of our vocabulary. You know why they say being Pentecostal is offensive? In this conversation, this person had the audacity to tell me we need to take a Pentecostal off all of our church signs because of what just happened, because of this guy that called himself Pentecostal was charming snakes and got bit. That was his reason for taking Pentecostal. Let me just tell you something. And I told him the same things. I said, I will always be a Pentecostal. My history goes back way further than 1971. My history goes way back further than the Brush Arbor days in the 50s. My history goes far back from camp meetings back in the 20s. I want to tell you what, I can trace my roots all the way back to AD 32, AD 33, in an upper room when there were people in one mind and in one accord. They begin to lift up their hands and praise God, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. We must never lose our identity, church. As far as the world is concerned, maybe Pentecostal is offensive to the world. But I want to tell you what, as far as me and my house is concerned, I'm always going to be Pentecostal. I'm always going to be apostolic. I intend on always going to church that always identifies with that. Because if we ever lose our apostolic doctrine, some we've lost it all. I said we've lost it all. Amen? So this church that we're in today, it started, I don't know when this church was founded, maybe in the 50s, 40s. But really, this church was founded way back in an upper room. And we must never forget that. Let me move on. If we're not careful, we're going to be like the believers in John chapter 7. Certain Jews were trying to locate Jesus to try and kill him. But let's pick up the story in John chapter 7, verse 11. It says, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. And others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, though, the Bible says, howbeit, no man spake openly of him because they feared the Jews. Notice, no man spake of Jesus because they were afraid what the Jews would think. John later wrote a few chapters away, in John chapter 12, verse 42, says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. You see, this disease to please will make you be silent sometimes when you're in a certain audience. If you're not careful, it'll put fear on you. And we have not the spirit of fear. What is it? 2 Timothy chapter 2. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Does it not say that? But of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see, if you have always trying to please everybody, it's going to put fear on you that you would be afraid to stand for what you believe. And that's what happened to these Jews here, these believers. He said, and the scripture goes on, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men. They sought the approval of men. They sought the opinions of the Pharisees were more important than God Almighty. Boy, what a shame. Let me offer the cure for the disease that I'm talking about as we stand this morning. If you have this, or if you feel this flowing in your bloodstream, this disease I'm talking about, to always please everybody, you know what you need to do? You need to find a prayer room. You need to find, like Saul, you need to repent and say, you know what, I'm sorry, God. I need to get where I need to be in you. I need to, you know, Lord, I need to seek your approval, not the approval of men. Jude said it this way. I love these words, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How am I going to do that? How am I going to build up on my most holy faith? How am I going to be able to get past this, cure this disease that's always trying to please everybody? How am I going to crucify Robbie Stevens and do the will of God, not Robbie's will? How am I going to do all these things? You said, building up your most holy faith. What? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the only cure to defeat this disease, because it plagues us all at one point in time in our lives. It's going to plague us if we're not careful. But if we'll pray through every day, we'll find a place in prayer and pray through the Holy Ghost and let God get us back on track. I want to tell you, we won't care whatever the other what the world thinks or what's politically correct. We're going to be all that matters is pleasing God. Jude is saying that we've got to pray in the Holy Ghost because it builds up an immune system. So think about this. Going back to my first statement, why are we trying to do an impossible thing? I have a farmer here. He just planted his crop. It hasn't rained 3 weeks. And he wakes up on a Saturday morning. He says, God, I need a rain. My crops need to grow. But on that same Saturday morning at the same time, a child who's been in a classroom all week long, recess has been canceled, perhaps because of maybe the weather wasn't cooperating. And so now that same child, as that farmer's praying at the same time, says, God, let the sun shine today. What does God do? Think about it. I'm not God, so I don't know what he does on that morning. But I can tell you what, no matter what happens, he's not going to please everybody. Somebody's going to be disappointed, right? Because somebody either is going to get sunshine or they're going to get rain. So why are we trying to please everybody? Think about that. Whenever God cannot please everybody. Am I making sense this morning? You see, remember that if you don't remember anything in this lesson, remember these words. You don't need everybody's approval to be happy. You really don't. If you really want joy, peace, and harmony in your life, all you need is the approval of God. All you need, and guess what? If you seek his approval, guess what? I believe everywhere you go, I believe there's going to be people. Not everybody, but there's going to be people that are going to follow you because they say, you know, there's something different about that person. They seem always happy. Why? Because they're not seeking the approval of men. They're seeking the approval of God. Remember to ask yourself these questions. Whose approval am I living for? Whose opinion matters to me the most? These are questions we've got to answer every day. What am I going to do today? Am I going to try and please man? Am I going to try and please my co-workers? Am I going to try and please my wife? I hope I do somewhat. Amen. But the most important thing is, Brother Chris, I got to please God. So let us be kind, be courteous, be compassionate. But if somebody's not happy with us and our God, well, guess what? Jesus told us to be expecting that, didn't he? He told us to be expecting that. So let us rid ourselves of a disease to please. We're fixing to take a short break. And I challenge you today from the first song, don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about what everybody else is going to say. We're here to please God. We're going to worship him in spirit and truth. If anybody feels like I do this morning and that is your desire, won't you put your hands together one more time for the Lord? Amen. If that's your desire to please him. Amen. Hallelujah.